To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Laura Wadlin, here with my co-host, Jamie Partridge. Tonight, we'll be talking with Rose Etta Venitusi, business representative, and Tim Rooney, plus Kyle Huth, rank-and-file members of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, moving picture technicians, artists, and allied crafts, known as simply the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, or IATSE for short, which is a labor union representing over 140,000 technicians, artisans, and craftspersons in the entertainment industry, including live theater, motion picture, and television production, and trade shows in the United States and Canada. Welcome to Labor Radio, Rosetta, Tim, and Kyle.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Hi, Laura. Good to hear from you again.
IATSE 28 is in a battle with the Metro Regional Government over jobs at the Convention Center. Metro wants to contract out your jobs to a non-union third party. Let's back up and explain to our listeners about the work your members do. As I understand it, your local is a stagecraft local and a mixed local. Stagecraft members work in venues that include Broadway theaters, opera houses, dance centers, regional theaters, seasonal outdoor amphitheaters, arenas, concert halls, parks, television awards venues, convention centers, corporate campuses, hotels, fairgrounds, as well as stadiums. Tell us about the work your members do, who they work for, and how your hiring hall works.
Well, thank you, Laura. So IATSE Local 28, we have locals all across the U.S. and Canada. And here in our region, we have Portland's Local 28 is us. We have Southwest Washington to Salem, Oregon, and all the way to the coast. So we are in lots of different venues, which is really exciting. The really cool part is since the last time I saw you, it's completely opposite, and we have lots and lots of work. And that's another thing we do is we have a hiring hall. We have a lot of work. If anyone's interested in working with us, you can sign up on our website, IATSE Local 28, and you can download an application. And we have lots of place for people to come at the entry level. We do, you name it, and we do it. But here today, you're going to be hearing from some of our AV workers, which is one of our specific crafts. And these workers currently work at the Oregon Convention Center, as well as different hotels and theaters and other properties where AV work needs to happen. And I think it'd be best if Tim tell you a little bit about exactly what the AV workers do. Different from the theaters, it's a little more specific. And I'm sure most of you have been to the convention center or you've been to a convention. I know on Labor Radio here, most of us have all been to a convention or a conference or a meeting. In the last 2 years, a lot of you have been doing Zoom calls. And these guys that you're going to hear from today, they're the ones that make all of that stuff happen behind the scenes.
Yeah, Tim, tell us your story and how you got into this line of work and how most of the members get into this line of work and how they get trained.
Well, I got into it because I was teaching video production at Portland Community Media and learned to use, you know, handle multiple cameras and lots of inputs and PowerPoint presentations and so on at the same time. So we've all seen in the movies what the control room of a television station looks like. So that's the closest thing to what I do. So if we have a large convention, there might be multiple cameras. Everybody brings their own videos that they want to play. Everybody has their own PowerPoint presentation. And my job is to juggle all that and make sure that we have a smooth, logical, rhythmic presentation for these folks to make them look good.
And Kyle, is there something you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I would just, you know, explain it. Tim is Tim is unique because he has a technical background, but one of the interesting things about the 28 is that there's a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. Some of the people come from a more formal theater background. Some people come from a pretty technical background. Some people, like myself, come from a touring musician standpoint. So there's a pretty diverse skill set, and there's a lot of pretty interesting people that bring a lot to the table.
What can you tell us about the history of your union, both the international and the local? I remember being out at a community rally with 28 last year. That was wonderful to meet you there, Rosetta. I know since 1893 that your members have been behind the scenes in all kinds of productions, like Early Days of the Musical, Dawn of the Film Age, and, you know, been responsible for entertaining the world for generations. So can you tell us a little bit about that history?
Sure thing. So as you said, the International started in 1893. And that was when a group of East Coast stagehands all bound together and started this whole thing. There's a little more history, but we can go into that another day. The cool part is, for Portland, Oregon, Local 28 has been here since 1895. And I believe we are the second oldest union, and I'm sure someone will hear the show and correct me, but in the area. But we have been here a long time. And we were set to do our 125-year anniversary when the pandemic hit. So we've waited till things got back to, you know, I don't want to say normal because there is no more normal, but we are going to be celebrating next year. We're going to do 128th anniversary. So we've been here a really long time. We've done a lot of things. And the cool thing is we have changed with the way entertainment changes. So over the years, we have literally been here since sound was added to movies, color was added to movies. You know, stages have different kind of lighting, and now we have LED lighting. We have computerized lighting consoles and sound consoles and video projectors. And there's a long history of when the projectionists who used to run all the movies for you, they used to be a lot, lots and lots and lots of projectionist locals, but things changed and things developed. So like we're a mixed local. So a lot of the stage locals have absorbed the projectionist locals, and everyone has had to learn and do other things. Same with AV. A lot of our AV technicians, as Kyle was saying, a lot of them have been stage hands and they've learned new skills and now they do AV. The AV world has grown exponentially. And now since the pandemic, again, since there's been so much more AV with everyone doing things online, we have an even greater need for more qualified AV technicians. It is just growing and expanding. And it's not just here, it's everywhere. And what's really great is not only are the jobs growing, but there's a lot of education. There's a lot of organizations where we can get education. Our international, we have lots of education. So anyone who wants to be an AV technician, there are places to get this education online and right here in Portland. If you want a history with the convention center, IATSE Local 28, so we've had members working there for different employers, including those running the convention center since it opened, because we have been here. We used to have a bigger presence than we do now, and then we did not have a direct metro presence for several years. This unit that we're talking with today, they actually organized their jobs at the convention center, Tim, a little over 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
Yes.
So they said they wanted to be represented by Local 28, and we wanted the representation again. And they won their first contract. And it feels like just yesterday. And here we are, Metro, trying to take that away from them.
So Tim and Kyle, you were actually working at the convention center prior to being represented by IATSE. Is that the case? Is that true?
This is Tim. I've been there 12 years.
Uh-huh.
So kind of half of the time with the union, half of the time without. The half of the time with was much better.
How did you decide that you wanted to go union?
Okay, sidebar. Rosetta, you approached us, yes?
Some of the workers approached us. They had been not being managed and had the opportunities that they saw that their union counterparts did. And some of the same humans would come across the river and work in the P5 venues. And they saw the differences between being an employee with Metro Union and not union. And there are differences. And we also saw, you know, a lot of the part-time AV workers with part-time with Metro, they could see what it was different working part-time for a third-party vendor, which is not great at all. And they could see there's a lot of strong unions at Metro, and they could see what their union counterparts working side by side in the same building were getting and they weren't getting. Like access to affordable health care is a big one. This unit wasn't getting that until we bargained it in 2019. And that had a lot to do with the help of the current Metro Council at that time. But things were not great for this unit. And they could see that it's possible. So they did approach us and they won their election and we negotiated their first contract. And it was not easy. As we all know, first contracts are not easy. There was a lot, huh, Tim? And Kyle, did you come right after the contract?
I was part of a hiring class that came in. There were six of us that were hired. And that's something you could probably speak to, because even that wasn't without controversy with regard to Metro. But there were six of us that were hired right after the contract was negotiated, and we were all part of the voting process to ratify the first contract. I had worked in the building and was on the call list for the 28 and was looking to expand my career and the opportunity to become union representative and have a job with Metro seemed incredibly promising. It seemed like it was the ideal thing, both to advance a career and to provide a comfortable living for my family.
So, Tim, were you working for a third-party contractor then before the IATSE came in as a rep? No, just directly for Metro, but without representation, I guess.
Correct.
So this pandemic has put a great majority of your members out of work, but then that's changed. You're pretty much back to work now, but how do you think Metro's actions now are related to that, if at all?
Well, here's the thing. This is where we're all, and there's the conundrum. Everywhere is busy. Everything is booked. Everywhere is booking and booking and booking. We're seeing shows come back, events come back. We do see that conventions are a little slower, but we're seeing hybrid conventions. We're seeing events. And the interesting part is that at bargaining, Merck Metro has proposed that they think that their AV department is going to start losing money, that they have projected that this revenue source for Metro is going to actually start losing money. The thing is, we haven't seen any facts that support this, and we think maybe they just don't want to be our employer anymore is probably more likely, because it doesn't make any sense that they can't do it better themselves and run the department and keep the profits within Metro. Last time I checked, Metro isn't a for-profit business, and they're here for the community. And what I'm really concerned about is if they do contract out this unit and bring in a third-party vendor that is a private contractor that wants to just make money, what's that going to do to the costs of our community that want to use the convention center? There are a lot of us that we all know, we go every year, right? Our annual events that you go back to that convention center. And if all of the costs start going up, I am very concerned that some of our precious community organizations won't be able to afford to be there, let alone what that's going to do to ticket prices for all of us, as the cost of living we all know is soaring. And the worst part is, you know, these are good regular Metro jobs. I'm pretty sure last time I checked, we all were trying to cease the homeless issue and not add more people without regular jobs to that homeless crisis. We also talk about the environmental impact. You know, having a convention center with everything in-house and keeping everything in equipment and local rentals in-house, that's a less environmental footprint than it is if they're going to go to some big national company and cater to these big national companies who fly and truck everything to your convention center.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to KBOO Labor Radio, Portland. You're listening to Rose Benitucci, Jim Rooney, Kyle Huth of IATSE Local 28, the stagehands unit.
So, I mean, I could talk to you all day about all of the, you know, they talk about economic impact. Well, there's economic impact. There's a lot of different kinds of impacts on our city and our region. So I don't understand why they're doing it. They keep explaining it to us. They didn't think we understood it, so they came back and explained it to us with pictures, and they did a PowerPoint for us. And this is, we still don't agree with them. And pretty much that is the issue, is we disagree with them. And we're pretty sure a lot of the listeners here are going to disagree with them also. These are good metro jobs that should stay metro jobs. And there's some things that I don't think people realize when you're talking to this unit who are out of work for almost a year and a half, and this is a part-time job to them. The difference when you're a Metro employee and they give you a bus pass for the month, that could be the difference between you getting to and from work to working for a third-party vendor when you don't have that security and they're not going to give you that bus pass, or having the EAP, things that Metro has for workers, having a free counselor, for example, having the support systems we have being part of Metro. It just doesn't seem to fit with Metro values to contract out these people.
Well, you know, those of us who are public sector workers, myself, Laura, we know the pressures on public officials to privatize public sector jobs. There's this whole philosophy that if you contract it out to the private sector, it will be cheaper. What makes it cheaper? It's only if you lower wages and cut benefits. That's the only thing that makes it cheaper, because of profit margins in the private sector that don't exist in the public. Go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, I was going to add that's one of the conundrums with all of us, and specifically those that have sat in with the negotiations, is that it's a bit of a Schrodinger's cat kind of discussion, that Metro on the one hand is saying that this department won't be making money in X amount of time, though they can't really specify when it won't be making money. Yet they believe there's a company out there that can make money doing it. And at the same time, they're not understanding what was the original sort of Bud Clark goal of the convention center itself, which was to provide a venue and a forum, and as Metro goals state, to create middle-class jobs. So this is a venue that has this statement and this community vow to do things. And they're saying somehow that after telling us for years we are a profit generator, are now telling us we're not going to make money. And now they're going to try to privatize all of our jobs. And at the same time, they're not really telling us what their intent or how they're going to do it is. So it's very confusing to sit across from them and try to figure out what the intent is, other than to eliminate jobs and no longer be in the labor management business, because they have said they're no longer in the AV business, or they no longer wish to be in the AV business. And as a convention center and part of the community, you're doing events and you're inherently part of the AV business. So it's been very confusing to a lot of us.
That is confusing. To clarify for listeners, since we've been talking a lot about Metro, Metro is a regional government in Oregon that represents Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington counties. And it's made up of an elected body called the Metro Council. And they own and run the convention center. So how has IATSE 28 responded to their decision to contract out your work and privatize these AV jobs?
Well, first off, we asked them to explain it. Secondly, we gave them counter information to politely and respectfully to explain that we think maybe their information might not be correct, and that they are making decisions, or the people making the decisions, were not given accurate information and all the information that they needed to make these decisions. we're pretty much keep explaining to them, and all of they've done is push back that this is what they want to do. It's a business decision. This is what they want to do. It's a business decision. And we have countered with everything we can. So here we are now. We're going to do radio shows, and we're going to do interviews with the labor press, and we're planning one hell of a shindig rally. We're going to be putting out a petition. And next week, our unit, they are filming a little documentary style, because they're not wanting to hear from us. I don't know if you all know, but the Metro Council meetings and Merck Council meetings are currently on Zoom. So we can't do our usual, hey, let's go storm the boardroom and all show up in our shirts and our signs. And now they're currently on break for the next month. So we're looking at being the entertainment industry, creative ways to get our message out to people to support us and get our message out to council, who we think maybe isn't hearing the accurate information from the union busting lawyer that somebody paid to come in and frankly, get rid of this union out of that building. They hired a private attorney that some folks know because they dealt with him with the city of Portland recently. And this person is very much is not interested in anything that how this affects the humans. He is simply there to get rid of us. And somebody bought him, somebody paid for him, ordered him, contracted him, whatever the words are. Somebody gave him his marching orders from Merck Metro. And what's really interesting is he likes to talk to us about the use of public funds. He is not an attorney on staff, on retainer with Metro. So why are they spending extra money? Somebody's got extra money to get rid of this unit. I think that's a little contradictory, right, Tim?
Absolutely. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of negotiations involved. It's pretty one-sided.
It doesn't surprise me. It horrifies me, but doesn't surprise me that the Metro Council would hire a union buster, because one of the counselors on that body is Juan Carlos Gonzalez, who used to be my boss when I worked at a nonprofit community center in Washington County. And I was the lead organizer on a union campaign at that job, and I was fired. He was the boss who fired me after we started organizing.
We have supported different counselors and President Peterson, because some of these counselors and President Peterson did good by this unit in 2019. You know, they got this, they made sure that this unit had access to healthcare in 2019. And we were thrilled to help get Christine Lewis and Lynn Peterson reelected. However, right now, Merck controls our contract, not council. It's very convoluted. And if you look at the Merck board,
there are Merck counselors, but they're not elected. Am I right? They're appointed.
They're appointed. There's a group, and Metro has say in who appoints them, but they're all business. Here, let's go. Let's back up. Ask me about Merck.
Well, I think Kyle wanted to answer. So, Kyle, could you tell us what a Merck counselor is?
A lot of it does seem, excuse the pun, but it seems kind of murky. Where Metro begins and where the Merck Council begins, other than Merck, I know that the Merck Council is appointed. They're technically volunteers, as they're not paid, and it's a lifetime appointment. So it does seem a pretty nebulous group.
Yeah, so Merck is the Metropolitan Exposition Recreation Commission. They are supposed to, they do protect the investments of the Metro visitor venues. So they protect the Oregon Convention Center, Portland Expo Center, and Portland Center for the Arts. So they, like the zoo, as we talk about, the zoo is under Metro. The zoo is not under Merck. Merck has the visitor venues, and it's their responsibility to oversee it. And they oversee our contract. And I'm guessing that somebody told them that this was a great thing to do, and they wouldn't have to have liability of employees, and they could just get some profit from this third party company. Because my understanding is they award you the contract, and then I think they get some money back. However, what I don't think that the Merck Commission has been told, and I think would be really important to those commissioners, is the customer service part of what they're talking about doing here. I'm going to guess that nobody has told them that contracting this out, you're going to get a third-party contractor. You're not going to see Tim and the rest of the unit that you see that come and take care of you, and the excellent customer service we have when a speaker comes and they're nervous, and how this team is really good and they love their building and they're part of Metro and they love Portland and the Metro values. And they're not only there just to do their jobs, but the customer service level this unit gives, because this building is their home. We get nothing but lovely, lovely reviews about these people and how I'm going to let them talk more. They do better talking about it. What happens when people come to the convention center and the kind of customer service that it's not anybody else there. This is the face of the convention center, is these people.
If you asked 100 random people what their greatest fear is, speaking in public is a huge fear for most people. So yes, we know how projectors work. And yes, we know how to use a microphone. And yes, we know how to set up systems. But our real job is to make it as easy as possible for someone to come to a convention at the Oregon Convention Center. When someone attends a convention or they speak at a convention, AV is the only department they ever see or speak to. They don't see admin. They don't see setup folks. They rarely see the food folks, but we're in constant contact with them. So I can't tell you how many times a woman told me, I have spoken all over the world for decades, and I have never been taken care of the way I was taken care of here. Guy Kawasaki, the advocate for Apple and Macintosh, who, once again, has spoken all over the world for decades, sat down after his presentation and wrote us a handwritten note telling us what great service we provided him and how he knew that the show was going to be flawless if we were in charge. We had a recent racial equality convention in the building. And one of the speakers, once again, travels all over the world, speaks in front of all kinds of people in all kinds of circumstances. And we did our usual customer care and took care of him and made sure that everything worked and that we both sides understood how his show was going to go. And he came back to tech after our little run through and said, people don't understand how important you folks are. You are my safety net. I have every confidence that when I go on in 20 minutes, everything is going to be flawless and I can just do my job and I don't have to worry about anything else. So, yeah, we know how the technical stuff works and yeah, we know how to put on a show, but customer service is our real strong point. And I don't think if you have a contracted company coming in with unvetted, unvested employees, that you're going to get that kind of customer service. So if you're from Chicago and you attend a convention in Portland at the convention center and you're there all week, we're the people who impress on you what Portland is. And we're the people that make it possible. And when they go back to Chicago, they're going to say, I had the best experience at this convention because I was really taken care of.
Thank you.
That's the union difference right there.
So we're running out of time. Rosetta, you have told us that your plans are to go on the radio, go to the labor press, get out petitions, have a rally, do your creative escalation and pressuring the Merck board, I suppose. And I guess, of course, I mean, Metro councilors are going to have some involvement here. How can our listeners help and keep in touch with your struggle?
Well, you can keep an eye on us. Local 28 has a Facebook page, and we'll make sure that everything is there. We will pass on to all of you as we roll things out. I don't have the petition address for you right now, but we will get it to you and make sure that it gets out there. And when we set the date of the rally, we will make sure that everybody knows. So all the usual places, We'll be reporting at Labor Council. It'll be on our Facebook. You can just keep in touch with us, and we'll keep in touch with you. I know when Jamie knows what's going on, everyone else finds out. I do want to mention something real quick, because like both of you said, you're government employees. One of my other concerns that has been brought to me is because this is a metro unit with, you know, metro jobs, there's a lot of attention to diversity. And I understand that they contract out and ask them to be diverse. This industry has a lot of room for diversity. The AV industry, I can't stress you enough, there is a long way to go. And yet, if you look at our little AV unit here at the convention center, we have all the bases covered. And when I say all the bases, I mean all the bases, from Indigenous person to our Pride family, to our people of color, to our moms, our dads, our aunts, our uncles. We have it all covered in this one little unit, and it's pretty darn amazing. And I'd hate to see Metro lose that.
That wraps it up for this session of Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. on KBOO 90.7 FM. You've been listening to Rose Venatusi and Tim Rooney and Kyle Huth of IATSE 28, the Stagehands Union. I'm Laura Wadlin, here with my co-host Jamie Partridge. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.